Open your Bibles up to the book of Genesis tonight. By hearing cheering, I'll know that you're not paying attention. Somehow you've tapped into some sort of sporting event. It's probably the curling championship. So did the U.S. beat China today in curling? Anybody know? Did they? I'm asking. We did? Thank you. All right, good. Curling. All right. It's like bocce on ice, right? Okay. All right, very good. Genesis, the book of Genesis, we find Joseph. Joseph, we pick up the story right around chapter, 36, 37. And the story of Joseph continues for the next 13 or 14 chapters in the book of Genesis. Joseph's father is Jacob. He has, at this point, 11 other brothers. He has youngest brother Benjamin. Joseph is loved by his father and despised by his. Joseph is loved by his father and despised by his brothers. He is sent by his father to his brethren, to which he is then sold for silver. And now he finds himself in slavery. If you just take the story of Joseph and you look at the humanity of it, if you and I were in the circumstance, we'd be bitter. We'd be vengeful. I don't know how Joseph did it, but the susceptibility to hatred, anger, for the sake of example, is quite a wonderful example to us. The character of Joseph is unlike too many we find in the scriptures. Joseph is one of the unique characters in that we don't have a lot of negative about him at all. Although it doesn't say it anywhere, to draw the connection, Joseph is a wonderful type of Christ. Again, sent by the Father to his brethren, sold for silver, falsely accused, yet faithfully served. Joseph saved his family. And we will see that here tonight. Genesis chapter 39. So appreciate our young people getting up here and singing. Jacob's birthday's today, 13, right? Am I right? 13? What is it? 13, all right. You look, I was going to say 13, but you don't look 13. Yeah. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. We'll read the first three verses, we'll pray. Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I am thankful for the example of Joseph. Lord, I am thankful for the things that you've recorded for us about him. We know, of course, as a man, somewhere throughout his life he had sin. God, thank you for the testimony of his character, of his discipline, of his patience. And Lord, I pray that we would draw on that and make application in our own life here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Quite a unique circumstance. Joseph finds himself in a place that he never intended to go to. He
was in Egypt, not because he booked a ticket. He was there because he was sold. Not by his enemies, but by his brothers who despised him. Why did they despise him? Because, a couple things. Jacob, their father, showed quite a bit of favoritism towards Joseph. Number two, Joseph, although speaking the truth, he shared too much information. Say how so? He should have just kept it to himself. Maybe write it down in a journal, and then when the day happens, he just brings it out and shows them. But he made the announcement at the family table, probably Thanksgiving time, stood up and said, "Hey, I've got something to share with you. Had a dream, and listen to this. You all are going to bow down and worship me." Reuben looks at Judah and says, "Let's kill him." It's pretty much the story of Joseph. Joseph, there he is by himself. He's wandering out, sent from his father again. I don't know what Jacob was thinking. Sends Joseph out to go see his brethren. They take him, they toss him in the pit. They go back to get him out of the pit. The Ishmaelites already had him. So they come up with a story. They take his coat. They kill a goat and put the blood on his coat and bring it back and say, "Dad, we got bad news. Joseph is dead." Joseph finds himself in Egypt. Living in Egypt. Sold by his brothers. Does he know what happened? Sure. His brothers are the one that took him and threw him into the pit. And yet, here he finds himself in Egypt. Genesis chapter 39, the Bible says a very important phrase. And even in the midst of all that, and the Lord was with Joseph. We look at those circumstances and we say, how could God have been with Joseph? Because the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph's heart was one of right and purity. Here he finds himself in Potiphar's house. He is the captain, one of the captains of the guard of Pharaoh himself. But just because Joseph found himself, listen now, just because he found himself living in Egypt. Now, Jacob, remind me, what is Egypt a type of in our Bible? Do you know? The world. Nobody knows him. No one knows his legacy. No one knows his father. Nobody knows his brothers. Nobody knows any of that. Here he is, and he's free to pretty much do and live however he wants within the house of Potiphar. But this did not give Joseph license to sin. No, Joseph made a decision for purity. Purity in Potiphar's house. The Bible says that God blessed him and turned him into a prosperous man. Here's Joseph living in Egypt, departed from his family, having to learn a new culture, a new language, a new way of life. The things of which the Egyptians participate in is quite vulgar to Joseph. And yet he walked with the Lord, maintained his character, maintained his purity, and God touched his life. And no matter what he did, the Bible says he was prosperous. His master sees it and says, "Hey, I've never had a guy like this before. I've never had a guy with such wisdom." And he promotes him because the Lord was with him. Bible says this, Joseph not only found grace, but he was trustworthy. Look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 4. "And Joseph found grace in his sight," talking of Potiphar. "And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in that field," or in the field. So there, Joseph is living in Potiphar's house. Potiphar pretty much takes his hand off of any business in his own house. And he says, "I trust you with everything. Here's my passcodes, Brother Bauman. Here's the passcode to my everything. You can access, you can turn on my lights and turn them off remotely, whatever you want. Here's the access to my accounts. Just make sure everything's paid. Make sure the business is going well. I'm going to be on the Nile." I don't know where he went. Just take care of everything and just send me a check and just make sure everything's good. He trusted Joseph. Amazing to me. This is the, by culture, an enemy. And yet he turns everything over to him and says, go ahead, Joseph, this is all yours. Handle it how you want. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not all he had. He didn't even know how much he had. Save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Why? Because number one, Joseph was prosperous. Number two, he was trustworthy. Number three, what was so special about Joseph? He lived a pure life in Potiphar's house. He was faithful. He wouldn't sin against God. So how do you know that? Verse 9. Genesis 39 and verse 9 says this. Potiphar had a wife, and she was evil. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept, he's speaking to Potiphar's wife, who's enticing him to sin. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how can I do this great wickedness? And look what he says, and sin against God. See, Joseph made a decision for purity, even living in Egypt. And it came to pass as he spake, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, look at now, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He didn't just say no day one. He had to say no every single day. This was an ongoing battle, but he made a decision to live a pure life, even though nobody was watching, even though no one would know. But do you understand this? Because of this decision, God would later bless him on untold amounts. Hey, young person, I want to remind you that those small decisions that you feel like nobody's watching are preparing you for big things. The habits and the things that you do as a young person, they, no doubt this was difficult. If we look at the grand scheme of things, and if we kind of take a deeper view back of, hey, nobody's here, it's just Joseph living in Egypt, been sold by his brothers, his dad thinks he's dead. This guy's got a reset life. He could do, he could be whatever he wanted to be. And he chose to be pure, living in Egypt. In Potiphar's house. And God was with him. Do you see the great value that Joseph puts on his character? I encourage you as you walk through the workplaces. Oh, when in Rome? No. When in Egypt? No. No. That's not license to sin. No, that's a time to be pure. Say, how's that go for Joseph? Oh, that went great. She accuses him. And Potiphar looks at it and goes, well, do I believe you, my wife? No. I believe Joseph? Yes, but I got to side with my wife. Joseph, we got to put you in jail. And that's what happens to Joseph. Just when you think things can't get worse, right, things are just looking on the up and up. Finally got that promotion. He's moving along. Maybe he's saving enough money to go back home. Who knows? But Joseph chooses purity, and what would look like that didn't work well. Now he finds himself in prison. Look at chapter 39 and verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Sold by his brethren, left for dead, put into Egypt, yet still no bitterness and no anger in his heart. No hatred towards anybody. For God to be with him tells us there was a communication between Joseph and the Lord. And there he's in Potiphar's house, tempted with sin. And day after day he says no, to the point he gets falsely accused. Placed now in prison. When does Joseph just say, that's it, I'm done. Just kill me.
No, now we're going to not only see his purity, we're going to see his patience. Look at this. Verse 21, the Bible says this. As he's in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Can I ask you to examine your life? Here you are, maybe walking through Egypt, feeling like you're all alone. And the Bible reminds you that God is with you. Here you are, maybe, I'm not going to say in prison, here we are in the church house, you know, obviously you're not in prison. But could we not agree, a very low point in Joseph's life? A point where Joseph never expected to be, never thought this would happen to him. Here he is. He was beloved of his father, Jacob, who had been given a promise of God. This is Jacob. This is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. This is the one whose seed will be multiplied upon the earth. And here Joseph sits in prison in Egypt. That's when you really begin to wonder, were the things I was told true? Yes? When your life doesn't go according to plan, that's when we begin to question, is God really going to keep his promises? And Joseph here demonstrates not just purity, but a serious amount of patience. Bible says in chapter 39 and verse 20, it says this, and Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were and bound him, and he was there in prison, but the Lord was with him, was with Joseph, and showed him mercy. Mercy. Man's in prison. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Just like in Potiphar's house, all of a sudden, his testimony and his character reveals himself. The Bible says that the Lord was with him. Again, in verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. I can almost understand or think of the scenario. There's the jail keeper leaving the keys with Joseph. Hey, I'm going out. Can you just make sure you lock up after? I mean, that's where we're at. Just like Potiphar, he trusted him with everything. The prisoner, the keeper of the prison, looked not to anything that was under his hand. He didn't think he was trying to sneak out. The Lord was just with him. Talk about look at verse 8 of chapter 40. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them me, I pray you. Here all of a sudden we have a prison ministry. What's happening? We had these crazy dreams. I wish someone, he says, hey, bring them around. Let's have a little Bible study. 1 year ago, do you know where Joseph was? He was tending sheep with his father. This was unforeseen. Anything in your life unforeseen? This was undeserved. What did Joseph do wrong? Anything in your life undeserved? This was undesired. Who would have chosen this? Prison life. Anything in your life undesired? And yet Joseph comes out with with his character. Purity, patience. I ask you, when those things befall you, how do you respond? Do you handle them patiently? Man, those are hard. It's really difficult to be patient in the midst of your lowest point. When life goes on not as planned. How does it go for Joseph? It goes well.
From here, Joseph becomes quite the interpreter of dreams. There's a period of time. There's a butler and a baker, and he says, "Hey, when you get out, can you remember me?" Guess what? They forgot. And there they leave Joseph in prison. Longer than he should. No one wants to be in prison one day. No one wants to be there longer than they should be. It's remarkable to me if we turn the page on Joseph's life, Genesis chapter 41. Joseph, we saw his purity, we see his patience, and now he'll be exalted to a point of power. Pharaoh has a dream. He says, "I need to know what's going on." And all of a sudden, they're like, "Wait a second, I've made a great error. There was a guy back in prison I should have told you about. Everybody's innocent in prison, but this guy really was. Pharaoh, you need to talk to this guy." You know what they do? They clean up the outside of Joseph. That's what they say. They got him new clothes. They shaved him up. Now he's standing in front of Pharaoh himself. You know what he didn't have to clean up? His heart. Oh, sure, they had to trim him up. He probably had some things growing on him or whatever, and a foul smell or whatever it was. And if he's going to stand before Pharaoh, he's got to be a little speed stick, all that kind of stuff. Get him right. But Joseph was able to do something divine, because you know what never got dirty was his heart. No revenge, no bitterness, no anger towards his brothers, towards the baker, towards the butler, towards the prison guard, towards Potiphar's wife, towards anybody. And Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and Joseph says, "I'll help you any way I can." And he's exalted to a place of power now. Do you understand that? Had he made a decision differently back with Potiphar's wife, he never would have been in this position. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 33. He tells them what's going to happen. He says there's going to be a time of plenty, and then there's going to be a time of famine. Pharaoh, you need to prepare. Verse 33, it says this of chapter 40. "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt." He says, "Pharaoh, here's what you need. You need someone that's going to be in charge. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt and the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be stored to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine." He says, "Here's what you need to do. You need to find a guy that can oversee getting a large amount of food and putting a bunch in store during those really plenteous years. You got to save that." Well, what does it say? A fifth part. So when famine hits, we have plenty. Great idea. And the thing, verse 37, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is." What made Joseph so special? His purity, his patience, here his power. You know what Joseph never lost was the Spirit of God in him. And the Lord was with Joseph. I want to encourage you tonight that as you navigate through this world of Egypt, you don't have to become like Egypt. As you navigate through this sinful world and iniquity is calling to you, begging to you to come visit their way, That you can say no? Do you understand that as even in the midst of your life, if the bottom falls out, that the Lord can be with you, preparing you for even bigger things than you could have ever imagined? And you never have to give up this phrase, in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph in verse 39, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. The prisoner. Verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Overnight, this prisoner becomes second in command in Egypt. How on earth? Because of the Spirit of the Lord. God was preparing him. He says, how are you going to handle this? How are you going to handle temptation? Are you going to do right? Are you going to handle your responsibilities right? Are you going to be trustworthy? Are you going to be pure? Joseph says yes. He says yes in Potiphar's house. Now he gets to do it again in Pharaoh's house. In verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Not only does he give him the highest level of responsibility, he also honors him. Look at this, verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, oh man, look at what they're crying. Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Honor. Honor. I guess dreams do come true. This is what he said. First, Joseph and his purity. Secondly, Joseph and his patience. Thirdly, Joseph and his power in the Pharaoh's court. Lastly, as we are reminded in verse 43, that not only would the people of Egypt bow, but just like Joseph said and just like God revealed, there were 7 years of famine following the 7 years of plenty. And sure enough, coming, walking through those doors, as Joseph sits there in his array of Egyptian garb with the ring and the necklace and the souped up chariot number two, here comes Jacob's family. And the only person that could help them was Joseph himself. Go with me to Romans chapter number 10. Only Joseph could help his family. You know who can only help you? Jesus. Romans chapter number 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. What is this? Well, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You know what? One day, maybe you mocked, maybe you sold Jesus out, maybe you said you never, but there, at a hard time, it's amazing how those doors open to the throne of God, and all of a sudden we come humbly before the throne. Just like Jacob's family had to come before Joseph. The only way that they could be fed, the only way that their needs could be met is through Joseph. Do you understand that God placed a need inside of each of us? And the only thing that can meet it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? That family member of Jacob's had to come in and they had to come down and say, we need your help. They didn't even know they were asking. Joseph himself
But you and I, there's only one name. There's one name that can take away our sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one name that can fix your greatest problem in sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I ask you today, I want to invite you back before that throne of Jesus Christ. As we've wandered through Egypt, or as we have picked up things in our life, maybe we've gotten off course a little bit. Maybe we need to humble ourselves yet again, much like the family of Jacob, and come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm living in a time of famine, and I need your help. Yes, we've been saved from our sins. But isn't it time that we humble ourselves before the Lord? Otherwise, we'll just starve. Outside of Christ, there's really nothing. There's a lot of things that this world will try and entice us with that is worthwhile. But compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing. And we'll just waste a lot of time only to the end and get to the end and go, I'm just hungry. I'm hungry for only what Jesus has. Well, I can't go and ask again. I can't go before. What will he think? Joseph was pretty excited to see his family. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to come to him? Why? Because he has something that he can offer. He is your provider. Say, I don't know what to do in my life. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for direction? Say, I don't know how to handle this situation. I'm not doing things right. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and ask him for help? Say, I could never. That's the only place to get help. Just like Joseph was the only place. But Jacob and his family tried everything. Different fertilizer, new soil. Oh, we got bad water. Man, sometimes when my small engines don't run right, I just think it's bad gas and I just dump it out, hoping for a miracle, right? Dump out the bad gas, put the same gas back in. And maybe, I don't know. And I wonder if Jacob's family, as they're trying to cultivate the land and just not getting any water or rain, eventually they had to go to Egypt and ask for help. They had to go to Joseph and ask for help. Eventually, you can keep trying all your ways. The only way you're going to get help is come to Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ. Say it's Sunday night on Super Bowl night. The only people that are here are Christians. I don't know. Say you got someone in mind. I got no one in mind. I just don't know. That's between you and the Lord. Maybe you've been trying things your own way, only to come up and say, I'm hungry. I need to get back to Jesus. Only Jesus can provide the things that we need. Let's all stand. Hey, I want to challenge your purity tonight. Just because you're living in Egypt doesn't mean you have to be unfaithful. Just because you're living in Egypt doesn't mean you can't be trustworthy. I want to encourage you to be patient. Maybe you feel like, hey, I'm living in prison. I know physically you're not, but maybe you're going through. Hey, remember that the Lord was with Joseph. He demonstrated a great amount of patience. So much so that when Pharaoh called for him, his heart was ready. That'd be hard. How do you handle your responsibilities? I encourage you here tonight. If you have a need, maybe it's within your home, maybe it's within your job, maybe it's socially, whatever it is, why don't you try and stop living through the famine and just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for help? And then whatever he says, do. He'll never lead you wrong. Never. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight.
God, I ask you bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see ourselves in this passage as we look through the life of Joseph and his demonstration of purity and patience. Lord, it challenged me. I know I struggle with that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us here. Lord, forgive us for going any other place but to you for help. Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?